Good afternoon, Waterville Community Church. It's Monday, November 7th, 2022. This is In the Know, episode 62, and might I say, the final episode before my sabbatical, and therefore, the last episode for a number of months. As a matter of fact, it's likely that you'll probably fall out of the habit of listening to this podcast in the time that I'm going to be gone. But that's okay. Let's jump straight into some announcements. First of all, if you've not listened, I think you know what I'm going to say. I think you know what I'm talking about. I promise I'm not stalling because I forgot what I was going to say. If you haven't listened to the Christmas hymns yet, the Christmas hymns album by our very own worship pastor, Kevin Williams, you can do that on Spotify or YouTube or Apple Music or anywhere you download your songs. You can purchase it as well. He has put together a wonderful, wonderfully arranged album of Christmas songs. Let me see. It is 10 Christmas songs. 10 Christmas songs you will never forget. Go listen now. It really is great. Okay. An ongoing announcement. We have coat, sock, and blanket drive for the homeless in Wardville, and that ends December the 11th. We are trying to collect as many of those as we can by that date. November 20th at 5 o'clock is going to be our November Sunday evening service. And then December the 4th through the 11th is the Lottie Moon Christmas Offering Week of Prayer, and the collection happens that second Sunday, December the 11th. December the 4th, there will be a family meeting to present the 2023 budget for your consideration. December the 11th, we will have a Sunday evening service at 5 p.m. December the 18th will be a family meeting to ratify the 2023 budget. December 25th is a Christmas Day service at 4 p.m. And then finally, we have mugs that are $10 and two t-shirts, a medium and an extra large, that are still available. Those are $18 each. If you're interested, reach out to me. One more quick note. Tomorrow is the day of midterm elections. It's election day. And I was really trying to think of a good Calvinism joke for election day, but whatever, it's fine. No big deal. I couldn't think of one, so I said it, and maybe you're chuckling along with me at my comedic ineptitude. Tomorrow is election day, and often we will follow news sources to find out the results, the ongoing results. I'll just say, World News, which is a Christian news organization. They also have a podcast. They have a website. They actually have an election tracker for all of the states for the Senate, House, gubernatorial races, and then the major ballot provisions that you can check out. So that is that's going to be going on tomorrow. They're going to be updating that live. So I've shared a link to that at the bottom, one of those little tiles at the bottom of the newsletter. You can click on that. You can also go to the Spotify for Kevin Williams's Christmas Hymns album if you're so inclined. Okay, sermon follow-up. Let's talk face-to-face. So at the end of 3 John, we are once again encouraged by a biblical author toward embodied interactions and away from disembodied interactions. It's a gracious thing that we can communicate to some degree through pen, ink, paper, computer, or phone, but we need to preserve and pass along the art of having important conversations face to face. Some things can't be and shouldn't be communicated over any medium other than an embodied conversation. The apostles clearly know that this is God's intention for our communication. It's a grace that we can avail ourselves of various technologies, letters, podcasts, videos, emails, and text messages, those technologies that allow our words and thoughts to travel and be present when we ourselves cannot be. However, we simply must insist that these are not the ideal form of communication. Let's make physical presence a way that we conduct our most important conversations. Let's make physical presence a ministry that we give to others as we give them our time, our most valuable resource. And hang on a minute just for that one. I'm going to do that full quote again in a moment. Let's make being physically present at the most important times in our lives and in others' lives that we are closest to a priority. In the closing pages of his book, The TechWise Family, Andy Crouch says this: "We are meant not just for thin virtual connections, but for visceral, real connections to one another in this fleeting, temporary, and infinitely beautiful and worthwhile life. We are meant to die in one another's arms, surrounded by prayer and song, knowing beyond knowing that we are loved. We are meant for so much more than technology can ever give us. Above all, for the wisdom and courage that it will never give us. We are meant to spur one another along the way to a better life, the life that is really life." Yes, amen. What a fantastic book, and what a good word for us. God made us as embodied creatures for embodied communication, and we should only settle for the substitute when the ideal is impossible. Let me share that full quote from Rick Warren now that I mentioned yesterday. Here it goes. "Time is your most precious gift because you only have a set amount of it. You can make more money, but you can't make more time. When you give someone your time, you are giving them a portion of your life that you'll never get back. Your time is your life. That's why the greatest gift you can give someone is your time. It's not enough to just say relationships are important. We must prove it by investing time in them. Words alone are worthless. My children, our love should not just be words and talk. It must be true love, which shows itself in action. Relationships take time and effort, and the best way to spell love is T-I-M-E. Finally, let me talk quickly about peace. The Greek word used in 3 John for peace is the same word that is used in the Greek Old Testament translation called the Septuagint for the word, the Hebrew word, shalom. It communicates a similar thought and therefore was the word those ancient translators chose to be the Greek equivalent of that Hebrew word. Keep in mind that it isn't just the absence of bad things or the absence of fighting. It's actually the presence of all good and right and beautiful and true things and of restored relationship. That word shalom means universal flourishing. If we can think of it this way, it's flourishing in every direction of relationship. Flourishing between God and man. And that's first and foremost. That's the most important relational direction between God and man. But also, and I'm using man not in the biological gender term. I'm using man as mankind, humankind here. So between God and man, first and foremost, between man and self, right? Man and others, so man and man, and then man and nature. And those directions cover pretty much every direction of relationship we can have. Now, the fall distorted and threw into ruin every one of these relationships. So you think about first that break between God and man that happened as a result of the fall. Then you think about the fact that man doesn't rightly understand himself anymore or herself. So they make coverings for themselves. They're shameful. They hide. They hide from one another. They hide from God. So they have this inward shame as well. And so they don't quite understand themselves anymore. The strife is introduced interpersonally, and then death happens. Enmity between the woman and the snake and their offspring, right? So creatures don't have right relationship with human beings. Creation itself begins to come unraveled as a result. Creation now attacks humanity in various ways, through disease, through natural events, and even through like creatures actually hurting human beings. All of that was not meant to happen prior to the fall, and those four relationships were all ruined because of the fall. But Christ redeems and restores every one of these relationships. Now, we see it in different stages at different times, right? So creation still attacks humanity. Like, creation doesn't just hold back from attacking Christians and only attack non-Christians. Hurricanes, earthquakes, tornadoes, floods, they happen, and they claim the lives of the just and the unjust. But Christ redeems and restores these relationships. He's paid the down payment for that. And he brings flourishing, again, at different levels into all of these relationships. Because of the peace between God and man through Christ, people can now have a right view of and relationship with themselves. Not perfect, but restored. And because of that, the overflow of that restored relationship with self means that we can now rightly relate to others around us. And Christ's redemption causes us to see and use nature differently. And in the new heavens and new earth, we'll have a perfect relationship with nature, where it won't attack us with disease or injury in various ways, and we'll actually have perfect relationships in all of these relational directions. On that day, when God himself swallows up death, Isaiah 25, and sets all things right, we will actually know in full what shalom really means. It will be a putting to death of strife, ill will, evil, malice, slander, unkind thoughts, and hatred. We will know the rest, the blessed rest of peace and flourishing into eternity. We know it in part now. And that restored relationship between God and man serves as the basis for any peace, rest, and quiet within our souls now. But on that day, we shall know it fully. Like, that's where all of this is going. It's headed toward shalom, toward peace. And our peace that we have is this kind of down payment, this first fruit of that peace that is on the way. I'll close by reading Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. May your peace with God overflow into a personal sense of peace, such that you can say, the peace of God is guarding your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Have a great week. I love you, people.